to cause some trouble amongst the Stanley Boyd players. And now Regis has a chance to add on to their two-point lead with 12 minutes to go. So how about that from Regis? First, the steal in the backcourt, and now forcing the five-second violation. Ristler with it, drives in the paint, finds a way through and gets it to go. Blake Ristler drives in and makes it 47-43. And now timeout taken by Stanley Boyd. 11:55 to go here in this one. It's Regis that leads 47-43 when we come back at ECHometownRadio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
We discuss this game and all the local games on the Sports Watch podcast series, heard only at ECHometownRadio.com. That's ECHometownRadio.com. The Sports Watch podcast series is the only audio show in the area that is devoted to Chippewa Valley sports, high school, the Blue Gold, the Chippewa Steel, as well as shining a light on the numerous youth and niche sports organizations in town. The Sports Watch podcast at ECHometownRadio.com.
You know what's nice about this setup here at Regis? We're looking out almost like a window here, overlooking this pretty much brand spanking new court that they put in. But it's almost got a press box feel as we're in the middle of a hallway, overlooking this Regis court.
And there's a nice water fountain right behind us that Derek was able to take advantage of.
Yes.
He's fighting the 13-year-old issue of puberty kicking in and the voice cracking. Got to get a little water in there.
Yeah, that's a bit unfortunate when you're trying to broadcast a game. Well, here we go. Stanley Boyd with the basketball. Brenner Myers will dribble at top of the key, then bounce it down low. Dembski trying to beat Haas. Finds a way through, gets the layup. So Dembski just backs off Harrison Haas and puts in the layup. And that'll be just the other way with 11:30 to go. Cooper passes to Weisenberger on the far side, then thrown over to Bramer. He'll hand it off to Ristler on the near side. Ristler dribbles it between his legs and goes in. He'll wait. Nearly gets it poked away by Myers, but regains himself and hands it off to Cooper, who he gets it poked away by Logan Gray. The run out the other way is successful for Logan Gray, and Stanley Boyd's right back level at 47 each with 11 minutes to go. Cooper will pass it over to Weisenberger on the far side. Trying to find a way through, he passes to Ristler. Ristler throws it in the corner for Cooper, who has it roll right through his legs. DJ Cooper could not get a handle on it.
Yeah, the pass from Ristler was just low below the kneecaps, and again, it was like a hard line drive going through a second baseman's knees, but that was more on the pass than it was on Cooper.
Gray drives all the way into the paint, but his effort too strong off the glass, and Regis the other way with it. Ristler passes to Weisenberger. A corner three, that's off the side rim, no good, and Stanley Boyd the other way with it.
Regis has these 47 points, and that's even without Weisenberger having heated up all that much. He hit that three ball earlier in the second half. Hasn't done much so far in this game. You wonder if he's going to produce as this one goes along.
As Logan Gray's three is an air ball, and Regis will grab it by the likes of Joe Bramer. DJ Cooper will dribble it with the ball between the wheels. Thought about passing to Weisenberger, then tries to bounce it over to Bramer. Bramer, near side three, off the front rim, unsuccessful. And now Stanley Boyd will go back the other way with less than 10 minutes to go, all square at 47.
These teams have been snuggling all game long on this cold night. Yeah. Neither team has gone too far away from the other.
As Gray gets the ball poked away by Owen Weisenberger, the run out the other way, and Owen Weisenberger puts it in, and Regis takes a 49-47 lead with 9:30 to go.
There's an impactful play from the senior.
And now Brenner Myers tries to get the ball inbounded, but he just throws it straight along the baseline. He was looking for an inbound pass to Eisenberger. It'll stay Stanley Boyd nonetheless with 9:30 to go. So Myers will get a second chance as he didn't see the ref bounce the ball straight to him on that was, it rolls right by him. Won't mean much. He'll just try to inbound it then. But it's knocked away by Bramer. And Regis will set up in the front court. Burst back. Cooper, near side three. Off the side rim, no good. And now the ball, it was knocked away, though. Dembski got the rebound. It was knocked away by Bramer, but he fouled him going in for it. That'll be Bramer's second and the team's third. A non-shooting foul as it was in the Regis front court. So with 9:20 to go, Regis up 49-47. Have caused nothing but trouble with this full court press. Eisenberger tries to get it in, stolen again by Regis. This time Burst back. And now we're going to get a timeout called by Regis with 9:16 to go. The Regis Ramblers leading by a score of 49-47. When we come back at ECHometownRadio.com and 93.5, The Tap.
We discuss this game and all the local games on the Sports Watch podcast series, heard only at ECHometownRadio.com. That's ECHometownRadio.com. The Sports Watch podcast series is the only audio show in the area that is devoted to Chippewa Valley sports, high school, the Blue Gold, the Chippewa Steel, as well as shining a light on the numerous youth and niche sports organizations in town. The Sports Watch podcast at ECHometownRadio.com.
Well, we got the makings of a fun one here at Regis High School with the Regis Ramblers leading the Stanley Boyd Orioles by a score of 49-47 as we'll get set to go out of the timeout. 9:16 to go here in this one, so still plenty of time left in this game. It's Regis with the basketball after once again stealing the ball with the full court press and then calling a timeout. They'll once again set up the quarter-court offense. Cooper dribbling around with it, trying to set up the play. Passes to Burst back on the far side. Thought about a pass to Weisenberger, then it'll go to Ristler in the far corner. Ristler dribbles it out to the wing. Then tries to find a way past Eisenberger. Then he'll pass to Weisenberger, his teammate. Now over to Burst back. Back to Weisenberger, top of the key. Ristler on the far side has it now. He drives it up eight. Trying to make one extra pass to David Riccardi after he euro-stepped into the paint. But Riccardi has it go off his fingertips and out of bounds on the near sideline. So with 8:44 to go, there's still Regis leading 49-47 as Stanley Boyd will get this ball inbounded. And then immediately a foul will be called on Owen Weisenberger as they say he got caught him a little bit on that. So another inbound pass coming up for Stanley Boyd. That'll be Weisenberger's second foul and Regis' fourth as Stanley Boyd will once again stand up. Great. Hands it off to Eisenberger. Now Dembski. Top of the key. He tries to spin around. Now Troy Haas passes to Eisenberger. Charlie Howell thought about a three that'll drive. Haas goes up for his three. That's off the side rim. No. And Regis the other way. Cooper runs up the court. Passes to Weisenberger. He'll go up for three. Off the front rim, no. Rebound, Riccardi gets it to go. David Riccardi puts the put back in. And with 8 minutes to go, it's Regis that leads 51-47.
Yeah, that scoring pace for Stanley Boyd has slowed down considerably in this second half. They've only picked up 10 points in this second half. That's what we were wondering, this pace ultimately favoring Regis, this high-scoring pace.
As Haas has it now, he'll pass to Dembski, top of the key. On the far side wing, Gray for three, splashes on in. Logan Gray hits the three ball, and Regis makes it. Regis Lee cut down to just one with 7:30 to go.
Logan Gray, though, is up to 26 points in this game.
Cooper thought about a three, but then he'll wait with it on the far near side wing, I should say. Burst back. Now Ristler on the far side. Tries to drive it, but he gets it knocked away. And now back the other way. Logan Gray tried a long stretch pass to Troy Haas, but he overthrew him. And that ball will just skip out of bounds on the Regis baseline.
Now, lucky break for Regis and a missed opportunity there for Stanley Boyd. There was really no chance for Troy Haas to track that ball down for Stanley Boyd. If it had been pulled in a little bit with the fisherman's lure, he would have had himself an easy layup. Likely Stanley Boyd takes the lead. Instead, it's Regis ball. They have a one-point lead, and we'll reach the final 7 minutes of regulation.
Yeah, Regis with the basketball. DJ Cooper will dribble with it, then pass to Noah Taurus. Bramer. Now on the far side, Cooper has it. He dribbles with it, trying to beat Eisenberg. McCarty to Ristler on the near side. He'll drive to the free throw line, then back up. And goes in again. Bounces it down low to David McCarty. His first shot blocked. Second shot, though, goes on in, and he was fouled. David McCarty gets the second chance. Puts it in over Charlie Howell, who fouls him after the fact.
Now, Howell blocked the first one, but it went right back to Riccardi. And then the second time, Howell went for the block, but got the wrist instead. So what a change from Stanley Boyd missing what could have been a run-out situation, throwing the ball away, to now Stanley Boyd maybe being down by four.
As Blake Ristler is walking off out of our view on the left side, so hopefully it's nothing too concerning. The free throw does go on in for Regis, and now back the other way quickly. Myers goes up for a layup and puts it in, so quickly back, Myers drives in and gets the layup, making it 54-52.
Yeah, you're right. Ristler went off with the trainer down to our left. We'll see if Ristler comes back. Didn't notice anything wrong with him. In fact, now he's come back in the view. He's walking around, so clearly something wrong with his lower body. They're trying to get stretched out.
As Weisenberger drives on the baseline and gets in a layup, so Regis back up by two possessions, leading 56-52. With 6 minutes to go. Eisenberger will pass it to Howell, and he'll set it up on the near side wing. Gets a screen from Haas, but it doesn't help as he'll pass to Myers on the far side. Hand off to Howell in the far corner. He'll try to drive into the paint. Stops and passes to Eisenberger. Now a hand off to Myers up top of the key. Myers thought about it, then back to Haas. Haas will then float it down low to Eisenberger. Out to Myers. Myers goes for the three. Off the front rim, backboard, no. Rebound batted around and grabbed. Throw in Weisenberger for Regis. So Cooper will dribble it up for Regis as Ristler has once again, as he's making his way back onto the bench for Blake Ristler. Bramer a three. That's off the back rim, no good. Offensive rebound, Owen Weisenberger goes. So Owen Weisenberger puts it in, and with 5 minutes to go, Regis leading 58-52. Oh, a quick feed the other way. Brenner Myers sends DJ Cooper flying and puts it in. So back and forth points, but Regis is in control here, up 58-54. Weisenberger with it on the near side. He'll pass it to Bramer, top of the key. Cooper goes up for three. That rattles on in. DJ Cooper gets the three ball, and Regis expands their lead to 61-54 with 4.5 to go.
Yeah, their largest lead of the game.
Haas passes to Eisenberg. Eisenberg will stop on the right, on the left block, and then pass to Haas. Thought about a three-hill drive. And then as Haas tried to throw it back out to Howell, he loses the handle and it rolls out of bounds on the near sideline. I think Stanley Boyd trying to argue for a foul prior to the pass. They aren't going to get it. It's going to be just an inbound pass for Regis on the near sideline with 4:20 to go. Cooper will dribble it up for Regis as they set up the quarter court offense. Weisenberger, pass to Haas. Now up top, DJ Cooper. Haas now top of the key. To Ristler is back into the game. Bramer, now to Weisenberg on the far side wing. Back to Bramer. Bramer driving into the paint, goes up for it. That's not enough on it. Offensive rebound, though. Cooper will set up again.
Well, that's six offensive rebounds in the second half for Regis. Regis has dominated the boards in the second half. What a turn of events that has created for everything.
As Blake Ristler beats Charlie Howell on the up, and Regis up 9, and we're going to get a timeout called by Stanley Boyd. 3:36 to go here in the second half. It's Regis with their biggest lead of the night. They lead 63-54 when we come back at ECHometownRadio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Regis Ramblers have pulled ahead here in the second half, leading by a score of 63-54. They have taken control the last few minutes, and this has been exactly where they want to be here. Off in a game with 3:36 to go, and have looked like they're going to find a way through this Stanley Boyd Orioles team. And this would be a big win for Regis if they can hold on to this. Because not only does it have the conference implications of the Clover Belt race, but it also has those seeding implications that are oh so important. Well, Stanley Boyd with the basketball. It's not over yet. Stanley Boyd can still make it. Dembski with it on the left block. Throws it out to the top of the key for Howell. And Charlie Howell gets the three. So Stanley Boyd's not out of it yet, trailing 63-57.
That's only the second made three-pointer Stanley Boyd's had in this second half, after they had six made three-pointers in the first half. Foul in midcourt on Stanley Boyd. It'll be Regis ball. Now Stanley Boyd's got just one more foul to give and just one timeout left.
Cooper passes to Ristler on the near side wing. He'll wait with a double team though, but able to bounce it to Weisenberg. He gets swarmed at midcourt and does take a foul on Brenner Myers. That'll be his 30s. Myers has taken back-to-back fouls now. And there goes your foul to give. So now any foul will result in the 1-1, even when it's a non-shooting foul. So Regis will think about that now with 3 minutes to go. Cooper passes to Bramer. Now with it, Weisenberger on the near side wing. Haas. Now Ristler on the far side. He gets swarmed. Finds an open Haas. Back up to Ristler. Bramer top of the key. He'll wait. Now Weisenberger has it. Weisenberger finds a way into the lane. Puts up a floater and it goes on in. Owen Weisenberger makes it go on in. And the lead up to 8 now at 65-57 with 2.5 to go. Back up the floor quickly is Stanley Boyd though. Myers, top of the key. We'll hand it off now to Gint. Throwing it into the corner now for Howell. Howell trying to back off his defender. Gets a screen from Dembski. Finds a path in the lane. Puts up a floater and it goes on in. So a nice play from Charlie Howell. And it's 65-59 with 2 minutes to go. Cooper passes to Ristler on the far sideline. He'll bounce it down low for Haas. Haas back up to Cooper. Cooper thought about a drive, then he'll pass it to Brame on the near side wing. Back up to Cooper, who will bring it to the logo, then now Weisenberger. Weisenberger is fouled, though, by Dembski as he was trying to drive around. That'll be Dembski's third, and that'll result in the 1-1 for Weisenberger.
Regis in a position now they can start to try to land this thing. Weisenberger, what an impactful final 10 minutes of regulation after he'd been quiet most of the game.
Front end of the 1-1 though, lips out no good, and Stanley Boyd will grab the rebound. Going the other way with Dembski, he'll pass to Howell, and we'll get rolling again. Howell hands it off to Gray. Gray hands it off again, top of the key. Now Howell on the far side wing. He'll try to drive, spins around a defender, then throws it back out to Gint. Gint runs to the middle, then gets a pass looking for Gray, tipped away by David Riccardi. It'll stay Stanley Boyd basketball, though, on the far sideline.
Stanley Boyd has one timeout left if they want to use one if they get into trouble here.
I see it.
And they're going to use it right here because Gray had a hard time getting the inbound pass in. They've already been called for 1 5-second violation. So they'll use their last timeout here with 1:23 to go. So a 6-point lead for Regis. 1:23 left. A side-out situation coming for Stanley Boyd. And for Regis, if they can get a defensive stop and a clearance here, the time is most definitely on their side. But if Stanley Boyd scores, oh, don't leave the seat quite yet.
Yeah, it's all going to come down to really this inbound pass here. If Stanley Boyd is able to create something good here, get a good couple points, maybe even a three-pointer if they can, but it's all going to come down to, can they get the ball in successfully? We've seen Regis numerous times steal the ball away on inbound passes and end up creating stuff for themselves. So it's going to come down to, for Stanley Boyd, are you able to get the ball in successfully, and are you able to set up a clean shot in a quick enough time so you're not already, so you're not running too low on time. With just a minute 23 to go in this second half, time not amazing for you.
Well, Regis, by the way, does have a couple of fouls to give, so Connor Miller's team can play aggressive, go for some steals as well here, and not worry about committing a foul.
Well, here we go now as Brenner Myers will inbound to Gray, and we'll get this thing rolling. Gray to Howell. Now Gent with it on the far side. Myers finds the path, drives into the paint. Nobody's fouled. Brenner Myers tried to drive in. He took contact from Blake Risler. So that'll be Risler's second and a couple of shots for Myers.
Got a chance for Stanley Boyd to inch closer with the clock stop with 1:14 to play.
Myers' first shot does go on in, so already the deficit cut down to just 5 for Stanley Boyd. And at this moment, if he makes both of them, it's not quite over yet. But as the second shot does go on in, so we're not over yet, folks. 4-point game. Risler gets swarmed on the inbound, but able to get it away. Now Regis the other way. Bramer with it. We'll try to get the pass to Risler, but he was fouled intentionally by Gint. That'll be a 1-1 here coming up for Bramer with 1:06 to go. So this is where Regis is going to decide this game. If they continuously miss front end of the 1-1s until they get to two shots necessary. First shot up, no good though, as it bounces off the back rim.
Second consecutive front end miss, and Stanley Boyd very much alive as we hit the final minute.
It's not over yet now. Gray with it, trying to find a pass through to Howell, but they're going to get a foul as they try to steal the ball. It'll be on Risler now for Regis, and non-shooting foul. It'll just be an inbound, but that's now the third foul on Blake Risler with 54.8 to go here in this one. Myers to inbound. Finds a man in Dembski at the top of the key. Hands off to Gray. Gray will try to drive, then pass it out to Gint. Back around the top to Howell. Howell has it knocked off, bounced off his foot. Ball loose on the deck, picked up by Regis. And we're going to get a timeout called by Regis with 40.9 to go in the second half. It's the Ramblers that lead 65-61 when we come back at echometownradio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
40.9 to go here in this second half. Regis leading 65-61. They have the ball here on this inbound pass. Bramer will throw it into Risler. immediately back to Brammer, who gets it to Weisenberger, and Weisenberger is swallowed up by Gint with 38 seconds to go.
Well, the last of the one and ones, Regis has allowed Stanley Boyd to still have a shot because they've missed the front end of these one and ones. 4-point game, regardless, it would still be a two possession game, but you'd love to make these two free throws, and it begins by making this first one.
As Weisenberger will spin the ball in his hands, bounce it a couple of times, go up for the front end, and again, it's off the back rim, and he missed it. So Stanley Boyd's still alive here with 30 seconds to go. Great. Quickly drives to the lane, puts up a floater, and he gets it off the backboard. 27 seconds to go. Regis inbounds. Tried to find Ristler, but it's knocked out of bounds, though, by Charlie Howell. It'll stay Regis basketball on the far sideline.
Now Regis does have two timeouts left. They've got to throw it in from their own corner, and if Brammer has any trouble here, they can use a timeout.
Brammer will try. Look, he does get it in to Weisenberger, and Weisenberger is immediately bumped by Logan Gray, so we'll walk to the other end of the court with 22.9 to go.
Couple of key things here. It's a 2-point game. He's going to get two free throws. He's missed his last three, but he's going to get two free throws. No timeouts left for Stanley Boyd. So after these free throws, Stanley Boyd's going to hustle down. The question is, will they be down by 2, 3, or 4?
Weisenberger will spin the ball in his hand and put up the first shot, and he gets it to go. So that's a big free throw make from Weisenberger. And if he can make this next one here, he brings it back up to a two-possession game for Regis with just 23 seconds on the clock. Second shot from Weisenberger. Rattles out, no good. So it's a 3-point game with 20 seconds left. Howell passes to Gray between the wheels. 15 seconds left, and we're going to get a foul in the midcourt by Brammer for Regis. So we'll get... So now Stanley Boyd gets a shot at some one and one, at a one and one with 16 seconds on the clock.
Logan Gray's had a big night. Does he make these free throws? Does he make this first one?
Logan Gray's first shot, and he does make it, so Logan Gray cuts the deficit to just two.
He's got 29 points in the game. Now the question is, will it be a 2-point Regis lead or a 1-point lead with 15.9 left? Big free throw here for Logan Gray, trying to cut the deficit to one.
Gray bounces the ball a few times, then goes up for it. Off the back heel, no. Rebound, batted around, and knocked out of it.
I don't know why he tried to miss that on purpose. That's, I don't know if that, that was called by their head coach. You have way too much time left. And he tried to miss it on purpose, and they're upset thinking that it went off on Regis, but I don't know why you're missing it on purpose with 15.9 left.
That was a questionable decision, as Ristler immediately gets fouled, and he got knocked up in the face by a player. It looks like he'll try to toughen it out here. He does draw the foul, so we'll walk, and he'll get a couple of shots.
I don't know why you're trying to miss that on purpose. If he makes the shot, it's a 1-point game with 15 seconds left. You try that intentional miss with maybe 5 seconds left or less. Now Regis to the line, and a chance here to make it a two-possession game with 14 seconds to go.
As the first shot rattles out, no good though for Ristler, so even if he makes this one, it's still a one-possession game, but it would still be 3 points with 14 seconds left.
A rare miss for him, by the way, an 86% free throw shooter.
Second shot for Ristler is up, and it goes on in, so a 3-point lead for the Ramblers. Wicklett inbound pass to Gray. 10 seconds on the clock. Gray spinning around, trying to beat Brammer. 6 seconds left, and the ball is going to be a foul here on Joe Brammer in the midcourt. It'll be a 1-1 here, and that's not a bad play there. Set at most they can get 2 here. They might. Now this is when you might want to intentionally miss one.
Now you have to make the first one though.
Yeah, that's the only thing. They have to make this first one to even have a shot at potentially doing the intentional miss thing. Logan Gray will take the free throws. His first shot is up, and it goes on in. So we might see an intentional miss here with it being a two-point game and 6 seconds left on the clock. Let's see what Logan Gray will do here. Oh, yeah, he'll intentionally miss it here, but he accidentally makes it. Logan Gray tried to intentionally miss it, but he accidentally makes the shot. Regis will inbound it to Weisenberger, to Bramer. 2 seconds left, and they'll call a foul on Stanley Boyd with 2.1 on the clock. It'll be on Myers, and that'll be Myers' fourth with 2.1.
So the game not quite over with yet. Bramer will go the other way. He's going to get two free throws. There'll be 2.1 seconds left after the second free throw, and Stanley Boyd will have one last shot for a heave. Remember, Stanley Boyd will not have any time, will not have any timeouts left. Now the officials are going to get together here. Are they going to add any time to that clock? All right, here we go. They're not going to add any time. Couple of free throws here for Bramer, trying to add to a one-point Regis lead with 2.1 to go.
Yeah, Bramer goes up for his first effort, and it does go on in. So that's a big make from Bramer. Makes it two. If he can make this next one here, it makes it a three-point game. So what most Stanley Boyd can do is level this thing up and send it to the extra session. Well, Bramer's second shot goes up. It's off the back heel, no good. 1 second left. Howell trying to get it to Dembski for the half-court heave, but it's bumped away, and that's the ball game. The Regis Ramblers beat the Stanley Boyd Orioles by a final score of 68-66. A thrilling end to this one, with Regis coming on the victorious end. So what a way for Regis to continue their home winning streak.
Yeah, nine straight home wins, and they were able to finish this one out. A thrilling ball game, a good bout on this Tuesday night, an outstanding basketball game. You just wish there was five more minutes of it. That much fun we had tonight, and Regis able to outlast Stanley Boyd. We'll talk about it here in a moment on the postgame show. I think Regis will be a little disappointed in how they didn't close this game out as cleanly as they could have, but they still were able to get the win.
Yeah, nevertheless, they get the win. Well, we'll take a break when we come back. It's the postgame show here at ECHometownRadio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
Stay tuned for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game and a look at the final stats.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's time for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game. Let's get back to the gym and Scott Montesano.
The Regis Ramblers able to beat the Stanley Boyd Orioles tonight by a final score of 68-66. And an absolutely fun ending to this one. Especially fun to watch. And I'm sure it was fun to listen to. Both teams neck and neck throughout this entire game, and it looked like it was going to be a good bout till the end, as the biggest lead of this game was 9 by Regis at 63-54, but that really didn't last super long. Stanley Boyd brought it back and ended up creating a 68-66 finish.
Regis struggled at the free throw line over the last 2 minutes. That allowed Stanley Boyd an opportunity to creep back into this one, but Regis won this game with consistent shooting throughout the game from the field. Regis for the game shot 58% from the floor. They had a hot first half, they had a hot second half, and while Stanley Boyd themselves shot 53% from the field, they could not keep up. The scoring pace benefited Regis, and Regis ends up outlasting them. And if Regis had hit their free throws in the last 2 minutes, there would not have been any nail biting at the end. And in the end, Regis gets the win. They've won 9 straight at home. They will now wait to see what their seed is on Sunday. And they've got a good shot, far from guaranteed, but at 16-6, a good shot at hosting the first 2 rounds of the playoffs. And they've still got a very good shot at winning the Clover Belt West.
Yeah, there's still a lot to look at for this team, especially after winning against this Stanley Boyd team. But why don't you run us through some of those final statistics?
Well, one other big key in this game in the second half was Regis, who was dominated on the glass in the first half by a 2-1 margin. Regis owned the boards in the second half, especially with 7 offensive rebounds. That was a key in that second half, allowing Regis to build up that lead that they eventually were able to use to win this game. Stanley Boyd was led by 31 points by Logan Gray, a big night by the senior Logan Gray. The sophomore, Charlie Howell, had 17. Meanwhile, for Regis, a 25-point outing for Blake Riesler, 14 for Owen Weisenberger, and almost all of it coming in the last 10 minutes of regulation, and DJ Cooper had 16. Stanley Boyd, their record falls to 12-10, 7-4 in the conference. Regis, meanwhile, 16-6 overall, and 9-3 in the Clover Belt Conference. And now Stanley Boyd's got one more game left before the playoff seeds. They are taking on Bloomer on Friday. Meanwhile, as we said before, Regis, they now wait to see what their seed is on Sunday.
Well, as those teams wait, as the seeds will be set, we'll have one more coverage before the postseason break. It'll be break. Why did I say break? I don't really know what I'm saying. On Tuesday, Memorial against La Crosse Central. That'll be in boys basketball. Again, Memorial against Central on Tuesday. Well, that should about do it. So on behalf of everybody that made this broadcast possible, and on behalf of my dad, Scott Montesano, I'm Derek Montesano, saying there's a great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Make sure to take advantage of it. And until Tuesday night, so long, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this presentation of Eau Claire High School Football from Eau Claire Hometown Media, 93.5 The Tap, and Civic Media. For a schedule of other upcoming games, visit echometownradio.com or thetap.fm.
The CBS News brief. Rapper ASAP Rocky is found not guilty of firing a handgun at a former friend and avoids prison.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going to say, Rory, art is so important in our community, and you've been doing this for a long time.
Not guilty. He faced up to 24 years in prison if convicted. Tens of millions of people are facing gripping cold as a polar vortex sends temperatures plunging to record levels. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
We have extreme cold, either advisories or warnings for nearly 80 million people in the central portion of the country, from Montana all the way down to the Texas border.
President Trump takes aim at Ukraine over its war with Russia, saying Ukraine, quote, should have never started it.
I'm very disappointed. I hear that, you know, they're upset about not having a seat. Well, they've had a seat for 3 years. Of us, and a long time before that, this could have been settled very easily.
CBS News brief on that.
Pseudoscience of genocide and enrollment. We're only 1-2%, maybe 2% of the whole population as it is. So that percentage is there's puts it like if you put it into perspective, that's I think 20-50% chance one of these things is going to happen to us, you know. So it's a 30% chance a Native woman's going to get raped, you know. So everything, so when you put it in the perspective of, you know, like that's that way, it's like it's almost a guarantee we're gonna and it's because we're dehumanized by pop culture, art, and media, you know. So art is also at the tail end, combats that, so we can own our own messaging and humanize ourselves. But in the micro, the first march, I didn't even know was happening until the day of. I saw women marching and just started marching with them. And then, but then we just slowly started planning. You know, it starts with messaging first of the folks that work with us every day. And then with that messaging, you know, they basically wanted to celebrate the lives of the our relatives and not the victimhood or the tail end, you know, giving that abuse the power, but giving rather than that, giving our lives the power. So it's the art is too also meant to celebrate the lives of the people, and then also bringing families together that, because really of 7 degrees of separation, literally everyone's got this and has this experience in their family. There's not a Native person not affected by this. I mean, you'd be really hard pressed to find someone that isn't related, has a relative that isn't missing, one. And then everyone's related to a woman or child or a person as a child that's been molested or raped, you know. So it's, you know, that's, yeah. Anyway, we get into the histories, you know, that they don't teach in school, and that's now our legal, you know. I think they're trying to make it illegal to teach in college now as well, or just to know it might be imprisonable. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I digress. No, but then, so the art workshops themselves, I kind of modeled it off of my Uncle Earl up in White Earth would just teach us how to make like birch bark baskets and quill work and beadwork in the basement and in the family. And then, you know, we'd pilgrimage to ceremonies in South Dakota. And I realized there's a parallel there to folks working together for art objects or regalia for a common cause, you know. And then in that, you build that camaraderie and conversation that strengthens family or strengthens that ceremony and then strengthens each other, like pretty much art therapy, you know. So and I saw that with IP3 out at Standing Rock, how it worked en masse, you know. So I kind of made my own little, I got training from IP3 and you know, also have a master's degree in arts and whatnot and Native history. But then kind of congealed all that together and I just bring ideas to other organizations. And really it's been an honor to bring ideas to these women that sometimes they take it. Sometimes they're a bit much, or, you know, I tell folks, I try to land on Mars, but if we make it to the moon, still cool, you know, like I always go for way too much, but we always end up doing something cool.
Yeah.
But then, well, yeah, it's art therapy for the families too. Sorry. So they get to come in and be heard and listened to. And in the workshops, I found other people of color. It's really, it's a real common thing across the POC community, you know? So it's definitely art therapy, not only for our community, but for other communities to maybe get enveloped or wrap in or a connection point to share common grief and heal together.
Yeah. I know on the 12th, you'll be overseeing and helping people come in and do some screen printing. Let's talk a little bit about that. That's from 10 to 7. So that's a long day for you and people coming in. Talk about some of the parameters, what you need from people to come in to do this work. And I know we give out shirts and everything, and you're a big part of that. But let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. At my workshops, I don't give out shirts. What it is, you bring your own fabric and we'll screen print for free. And I tell orgs, if you bring more than like five things, you know, you have to leave some employees. Like, you can't jump off like 50 shirts and expect to pick them up later. You know, you got to leave some employees. So it's very volunteer based and community based. And we do work hard, don't get me wrong. But we do have orgs that set up ahead of time that I'm real per se. Like, we have leftovers from last year, but generally speaking, it's sometimes like, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, Native American Community Clinic. They definitely bring a lion's share of shirts to give away. That'll be like 500 to 1,000 items we'll try to print that will be given away the next day. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, if you bring your own fabric, we'll screen print for free, but that's one or two items. But as a community member, I've seen families, we've just showed them how to pull screens and they get into it. And then, you know, they'll go home and get their laundry basket and bring back all the cotton that'll fit under a screen, you know? And then some folks won't do anything. They'll just sit there and eat and talk and share. And that's great too. You know, it's really whatever capacity you can be there. It's just lovely to have community there. And, you know, we used to make posters. This year, we're not so, it's just every year depends on budget and time and all that, mm-hmm. you know, I'm we'll have at least 8 screens pulling at a time. Volunteers are lining up. And then the shirts they do have to dry overnight. Oh, 1 minute till break. I'm hoarding space. but yeah, volunteers welcome and bring all the cotton fabric. Cotton works best.
Well, Anna, you got scarves you gave out last year, this year too, right?
Yeah, we'll have some blank red bandanas that could be printed, and yeah, we'll have more of the scarves from last year. We really want to encourage people to come out to the screen printing, to the march. We want to lend support to families and really let them know that they're not alone in this. We talk about what it means to be a good relative in the community. And I want to really bring that home this year. How would you search for your relative if they were missing? These are our nieces. These are our nephews. Like, they're our family. When we talk about Hunka families or adopting each other, like, these are people. These are relatives that are missing. This isn't somebody else's daughter. These are our kids. These are our brothers, sisters, grandmas, grandpas. So just bringing that home.
Right on. We'll be talking about that more in the next segment, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back.
Registration is open for the Community Connections Conference on February 8th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. It's a free, fun way to get involved in local decision-making. Join the city of Minneapolis for workshops, resources, music and dance, good food, a scavenger hunt, jobs, internships, and a conversation on community health. RSVP at minneapolismn.gov/CCC. That's minneapolismn.gov/CCC.
Thinking about college? Consider checking out Minnesota Private Colleges. These 18 nonprofit institutions keep the focus on students with small classes and professors who will get to know you. You'll find students from all backgrounds, and no two colleges are alike. And when it comes to cost, they're more affordable than you think. Find the college that's right for you at mnprivatecolleges.org/possible. That's mnprivatecolleges.org/possible.
Native history in Minnesota is diverse and rich. Indigenous people have dwelled here for thousands of years and continue to live here today. Our home, Native Minnesota, at the Minnesota Historical Society, shares the history and contemporary stories of the region's Native peoples. Now on display, the mask designed by Miwokan Dakota artist Cole Redhorse Taylor and worn by Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. Visit the Minnesota History Center to hear stories of resilience, adaptation, and survival.
Do you have a vehicle you no longer need? Are you a little cash-strapped? Rudy Luther Toyota will pay you for your used vehicle. It's really simple. Head to RudyLutherToyota.com, answer a few simple questions, and Rudy Luther Toyota will get you an instant offer. Then they will set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they will handle all the paperwork and coordinate getting you your check. It's that simple. It's a fast way for you to get rid of the vehicle you no longer need, putting money in your hands. For more information, head to RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Hey, we are talking about what's coming up this week. And Anna, I want to get back to you. We're with Anna and Rory, and I want to get back to you about what you were saying at the end there. Let's talk a little bit about what's going to be a little different this year and the little different focus that you were just talking about before we went to break.
Yeah. You know, last year we really tried to be intentional about making sure that we say the names. We always say that, right? Say their names. And so we want to really acknowledge relatives. We're starting to try and get a more comprehensive list. As you all know, data is like one of the shortcomings that we don't have enough of to really give a representative a total look at everybody who has been impacted. And so we're trying to do better at that, but also really just calling on community to, like, our bandanas are sweet, our scarves are sweet, and our license plates, we're super happy to have that. But also just like really asking community, like, claim our relatives. This isn't somebody else's child who's missing. These are your nieces, your nephews, your brothers and sisters, your grandmas. And so just really trying to build that sense of community. Rory does that with bringing folks together through art and doing that, but really wanting to send, you know, messages to families and not just saying the words, really building up, like, they're not alone in this. And that's really something I want to push this year and do better as a state, is building that sense of community and letting families know they're not alone, because we hear too many of those stories of moms, of families, you know, having been responsible for searches after the, you know, little bit of buzz. If there's any media coverage on it at all, that goes away and families are left without answers. And so wanting to build up their support systems and show them what we as Indigenous people can do, not divided by tribes. We're Indigenous relatives, whether you're from North America, South America, Red Lake, Leech Lake, you know, the Dakota tribes, you know, we're relatives, and we have to be that. We've had enough impact of divide and conquer. So it's time to do better.
I agree 100%. And Rory, you were saying earlier, one out of three, out of the 78,000 relatives that live in the Twin Cities, that's a big number.
For us as Native people, yeah, that's huge. But I get for the whole population of Minnesota, you know, it just kind of gets drowned out. Pun intended there, I guess. Sorry for that analogy. I was going to add on to what Anna was saying. But yeah, over the years, we have, you know, we're at roughly 10,000 items, not including those red dresses we did during COVID because we couldn't assemble. What she sparked my memory of a performance that everyone should check out that Rebecca Belmore did about 30 years ago, where she called out the names of the missing and murdered as an art piece in a video. And that's when video art and everything was it was not art back then. You know what I'm saying? It was movie or kitsch. It wasn't fine art yet or whatever. I don't know. It was it was whatever. But anyway, that was that. That's the art context. But I thought it was just such a strong piece 30 years ago. And that really influenced what I wanted to do, that messaging for art, literally, you know. So I think it's like full circle that art can do that now. And I think, you know, maybe we need to start putting, you know, stenciling names out on the streets with like these little red dress stencil cutouts and paint names in them, and just get the names out there. You know, these aren't just statistics that can just get drowned out. You know, we're people and families that are still grieving and will continue to. And not only that, I don't want to get into the boarding school stuff, but you know, that's, you know, my grandmother wouldn't teach us the language because she was afraid we'd get treated like she did for knowing it. And I mean, given this climate we're in now, I mean, how far off of right was she? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I digress. But yeah, we got to, but it's all about money, right? I have kids, I have bills to pay, and, you know, I'm sick now, and we got to still find ways to, I want to cover the streets with art and paint, you know, paint the streets red, names included. Yeah. Sorry.
That's a great idea.
Little tangential art brain there. Sorry.
That's a big deal. I went to, what's his name? The guy that does all the stuff in New York City, went to his museum where they do all the art, the graffiti, and bring out the public message. So I'm all for that. Anna, we digressed a little bit with the numbers. I was off on the numbers a little bit, but I've always been told 1 out of 3 of our relatives, our lady relatives, will be abused in one way or another. And what I was getting at 78,000 people in the Twin Cities, half of them are women. That's a big number.
Yeah, actually, it depends on the type of violence, whether it's sexual violence or physical violence. Those numbers are, you know, 8 out of 10. And so they're even higher than as we start to do deeper dives into the data and what we're seeing as national trends. And that's just, how can that be? But, you know, part of the MMIW task force report identified the root causes of MMIR as being, you know, when did we start going missing and become murdered at colonization? Yeah. And then that continued with the attempted genocide of our people through, you know, what Rory mentioned, not just boarding schools, but all the historical trauma on top of sexual objectification of Indigenous people and racism and sexism. There's so many, so many of those root causes that just that have impacted our community for so long. And so we're trying to raise awareness around it and address that. And within our office, we do a lot of training on different aspects within the general community, within law enforcement, victim service providers, court services, the child welfare system. And so we're doing that, but it's a drop in the bucket. We have a lot of work to do. So we're trying, and showing up is the first step. So that's one of the reasons we're doing this walk, this march, just is to show up, to be there.
Absolutely. And then if we can, we got about a minute left. Anna, can you just say where the on the 12th, where that will be held, and also I believe it's going to be starting and ending at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, the march.
Yeah. So the screen print event is at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. I saw Ruth on earlier, so hosted in her location. And then the march, like you mentioned, will be February.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we'll have the day's first reaction to the budget address by Governor Tony Evers and the result of Tuesday's primary election for state superintendent.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo, talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A jury finds rapper A$AP Rocky not guilty of two felony counts of assault with a semi-automatic gun following a nearly month-long trial in Los Angeles.
Thank y'all for saving my life. Thank you, y'all.
That's him thanking jurors, saying thank you for saving my life. More than 95 million people are facing really cold temps over the next day or two. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin says there is a state of emergency due to incoming snow.
Make sure that you have good provisions at home, but I do not want anyone on the roads after midnight tonight.
Two people remain hospitalized following that plane crash in Toronto yesterday. This man was on the plane.
Area by area, people were checking one another out, making decisions about whether we would help one another with their straps or if by doing that, would they be landing on somebody?
Officials say the black boxes are now in a lab. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Enjoy.